portion I've been assigned is verses 23 to 32. 107, 23 to 32. One moment. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens, went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Great God, we thank you for this wonderful passage. As we looked at the experience of the disciples and the Lord on the Sea of Galilee this morning, we see how this wonderful passage pictures in a wonderful way these things. And we pray you'll help us to appreciate what you have for us there in Psalm 107. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us. Bless us now by your word. Send forth your word to our minds and hearts. And help us, Lord, to be built up and strengthened in Christ. Accomplish your work in us by sending forth your word according to your promise. And bless us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Spurgeon, in his Treasury of David, wrote 26 pages on this psalm. And they're wonderful. And it's very easy to reach them. If you have access to the internet, just say Spurgeon 107. And you'll have the whole Treasury of David all there in letters big enough to read. It's wonderful. And well worth reading. And just wonderful and thrilling and worth study. And he puts it together in such a way that it's easy to study. And he brings in things he studied. It is wonderful to consider. And I really recommend that if you have time to spend and just wonder what to look up and what to do for your soul. His Treasury of David, which you may have on the shelf, but it's so handy to just hit the buttons and get it. I do recommend it wonderfully to you tonight. It's wonderful. And he gives you not just what he thinks, but what many others think. And many have greatly admired this psalm. And so I recommend you to that because I'm not doing that. And I'm not going in that direction. What I would like to do is to look at the passage given to us and see it in the light of the whole psalm. We want to get what is the message of the psalm, because I think if we see the message of the psalm and then see this in the midst of it, we come to even better understand what went on in the Sea of Galilee. So I'm convinced there's tremendous blessing in seeing what is the message of Psalm 107. What is the message of the passage we looked at there? I believe that will bring us to see in a wonderful way the message that the Lord Jesus brought forth at the Sea of Galilee. So we want to look. What I'd like to do in determining what is the psalm about, what's 107 about, I'd like you to open to 107 and then just look at the verses that I mentioned. For instance, start off by mentioning verse 8. Look at verse 8 and see what God says. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Then go on to verse 15. And what does God say in verse 15? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Go down to verse 21 and see what God has to say. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And then look at 31. We continue through the whole Psalm 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And then having, from that point on, going through a rehearsal of God's wonderful goodness to his people, he finishes with, "Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord." So the purpose of the psalm is obviously to bring people to that refrain as they consider it. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. To see the wonder of what he's done and love him for doing it. Those are the things that the psalmist wants to bring before our mind. But as one studies the sections of the hymn, you see that at those points where he says that wonderful thing, it concludes an idea, a circumstance, and that's what I'd like to look at, the circumstances that bring forth that response. We see what the response is, let them give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful deeds for men. But what are the things that prompt that response we'd like to look at? And we'd like to look at first with verse 8. What are the things that lead up to verse 8? Well, it's got the psalm that it's got the phrase that we're looking for, but what goes before, after an introduction, what goes before is he describes the way in which the people of God were allowed to wander. And if you go back to read this section, you'll see what some did. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord. So the picture of what they're looking at here, or he's looking at here, is those that were allowed to wander. In their wandering, they saw their desolation. They saw their emptiness. They saw the meaninglessness. They saw that they were lost. And in that, they called upon the Lord. And it was their wandering. It was their perplexities. It's their confusion that brought them to call on the Lord for his deliverance. And he delivered. He delivers men who are wandering, for whom life doesn't make sense at this point, who don't know what they're doing or have gone the wrong way. We know all of us in some way is like that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord is pleased. We know because he laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all, he's pleased to rescue us in our wandering and bring us to that wonderful conclusion. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for men. But then we go down to verse 15 and say, well, what preceded verse 15? 15 is, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. But the passage that comes before, if you scan it, see that they've brought themselves into bondage. The thing that brought them to see their need of God is they brought themselves into bondage. And it says that some sat in darkness, the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. They'd rebelled against the words of God, despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried on the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the deepest gloom, and they broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord. So there's another reason for thanking the Lord, in this case, because they brought themselves into bondage. They're people who, by their choices, bring themselves into bondage and can't get free. And it's the very bondage that they're conscious of that brings them to call on the Lord for deliverance, and God delivers them. Well, the next one that goes on is verse 21. And we'll find, if we look before verse 21, which is the phrase we're looking for, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for men. What's the condition that brought them to call upon the Lord? Where there's a situation where they are very clearly suffering the consequences of their sin. It says in, say, verse 13, they cried to, so he subjected them to bitter labor. Well, better go back a little bit. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they rebelled against the words of the Lord, despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and broke away their chains, and then let them give thanks to the Lord. So they suffer the consequences. I'm on 21 now. I'm sorry. They suffered the consequences of their sins, and we see that between 16 and 21. There's the position I'd like to look at. Verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. That section dealing with suffering the consequences of your sin. There are people who get themselves into terrible trouble because of their sin and suffer the consequences, and it's that that makes them call upon the Lord. We've seen the ways in which men call upon the Lord. Here is his suffering consequences for sin. And let's look to the one in verse 31 where it says the same phrase we've looked for. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. But what's the lead up to that? He sent a calamity entirely beyond their control, a storm at sea. He's got one calamity after another that's brought men to call upon the Lord. And the one he includes here is not because of their sin, not because of the consequences of what they've done, not because of any personal thing at all, but because God in his mercy sends a calamity upon them in order that they might call upon the Lord. Each thing that he allows or brings to pass in their life is for the purpose of bringing them to give thanks to the Lord and to draw near to him. And so in verse 31, there's the calamity entirely beyond their control, a storm at sea. Let's read that, and in doing so, remember the passage we looked at this morning. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens, went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. We realize that this morning the disciples didn't go into the boat out of rebellion to God. It was in the purposes of God. Other passages give more details where God said, Jesus sent them onto the boat. And while he was on the boat, brought the storm upon them. It was in obedience to God. But God is pleased at times to bring men to their wits' end, absolutely unable to know where to turn, in the tremendous calamity for the very purpose of bringing them to call upon the Lord and to know the reality, the power of God, the wonder of his grace. There's four circumstances and ones that are not uncommon in our day. Are there not people in our day allowed to wander until they finally see their need of God? They're allowed to wander in wilderness and despair and confusion until they see the need of God. I thought here, not knowing who might listen to this, could there be someone even listening to the things that I'm saying, who even right now are far from God, are wandering, and are far from God, and distressed, and need to be called, that they're there in order that they might call upon the Lord. Why is a person in a place of wandering, not knowing which way to go? What brings them to that kind of confusion? Well, what brings them to confusion is the purposes of God to bring them to call upon him. And so they wandered in the wilderness until they called upon the Lord. Could there be one under the sound of my voice reading this passage even today that recognizes that their condition is wandering far from God, and what God's calling them to is to return to him and to call upon him and to see the wonder of his deliverance? Why does God bring such terrible confusion to people? To show the wonder of his deliverance. The Lord Jesus delivers his people. There might be others allowed to sink into difficult bondage. Could there be others who have messed up their life, have put themselves in an impossible situation, in a bondage that they can't get free from, are in an impossible place with no perceivable outcome? Could a person be in such a thing? Could a Christian get to a point where he doesn't know which way to turn? And he's come to a place of bondage and can't get free. Well, the word of God comes to encourage him. God's able to hear your voice. God's able to rescue you from bondage. God's able to deliver you and bring you to a point of praising, magnifying his great name. And he's allowed that very thing for the purpose that you might be drawn to him. Verse 21 reminded us of those that suffered the consequences of their sin. And there are people who have made bad choices, have gone into business ventures that have been a disaster, have made choices that have alienated people that they wanted to keep close, have messed themselves up, and they realize that they're responsible for where they are. They brought themselves into it. That's the ones that are mentioned here. They're people who brought themselves into a place of the consequences of their sin. What does such a person do? Facing the consequences of their sin and not being able to do anything about it, what does he do? He comes to God and says, God, help me. He calls upon God. And God brings them to that very place in order that they might call upon him and give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful deliverance. There may be people facing a calamity that is not their fault, is not their choice, and is in no way able to be faced. Far beyond their ability. They're brought there to love and serve him better because they see the power that he is able to exert to rescue them from such a storm. And that's certainly where the disciples were. They were terrified. They were thinking they weren't going to survive. They doubted, can God love me and still do this? Accounts of the thing says, don't you care that we're perishing? There's a question even if he cares. God can bring a person to that in order that they might call upon the Lord and find the wonderful blessing and the encouragement that makes them see the wonderful power of God, and so to call upon him and to see the power of his deliverance. They were in awe. The scripture says in one of the accounts of the passage in the Sea of Galilee, they were terrified during the storm, but then after the storm they were afraid of him because they were in awe and amazement at the power, the wonder of what he had done. And wasn't that what the stilling of the storm was all about? Didn't we see that? It was in order to bring them to call upon him and to see the wonder of his mighty power. So vivid in the area of the storm, because it wasn't a matter of guilt on their part. It wasn't a matter of their responsibility for having put themselves in a bad position. They weren't suffering the consequences of their sin. They weren't being chastised in such a way at all. They were simply being challenged with an overwhelming challenge that they could not handle personally. And ought we not to, in looking at that, be fortified? Because we know not what God will bring in our lives. We can do something about the choices that we make. We find ourselves wandering, we can seek the Lord. We can seek to come back. We can seek to return unto the Lord. If we find ourselves in bondage, there is freedom in Christ. Whatever the reason, we can call upon God to forgive us and to deliver us. If it comes to a matter of suffering the consequences of our sin, we'll have to suffer a degree of consequences of our sin, but it will bring us to Him. But when it comes to a disaster that we have no control over or responsibility for, God is still there. And if we wonder, why did this happen to me? Well, one of the reasons that it happens is in order that me and my people might call upon the Lord. One of the reasons is certainly that it brings them to exalt and magnify the name of God. And even as we have repeated again and again, let them give thanks to the Lord. Looking for verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Why does God put us in a time of wandering? We probably ought not to say put us in a time of wandering. He allows us a time of wandering. He gives us a choice that brings us to such a place. Why does He do that? In order that we'll call upon Him and see His wonderful deliverance and give thanks to the Lord for the great things He's done. Why are we permitted to fall into bondage, get ourselves in real trouble? Why? We're Christians. Why doesn't God just prevent all these troubles? Well, He allows us to come into such trouble in order to teach us to call upon Him and to come to Him in our need and to see the wonderful deeds that He can do. Why does He allow us to suffer the consequences of our sin? In order that we might see the wonder of who He is, turn from our sins and call upon Him and see the great things that He can do and give thanks to the Lord and His wonderful deeds to men. And why does He bring the calamity that is beyond anything that we could imagine, that terrifies us and shakes us to our very core? Why does He do such things? Well, the suggestion of Psalm 107 is that He did that to bring them to call upon the Lord, to plead to Him, and to find deliverance that would demonstrate the wonderful power that God shows. Certainly it's true with what Jesus did with the disciples. He purposed to bring them to a point where they wondered how they could survive. They feared for their own death and even were tempted to doubt His love in order that they might call upon the Lord, which they did, and saw the wonderful deliverance that He could do, the amazing deliverance. I would suggest there are people who have wandered and gotten themselves in a difficult, dreadful situation and been absolutely amazed to see what God has done, and could give wonderful testimony to where they put themselves and how God heard their cry and rescued them. There are people that can get wonderfully excited about the great things that God has done to rescue them in their wandering. There are others that have faced bondage, made stupid choices, got themselves in situations that they couldn't escape, and have made stupid choices and know their faults, and they find deliverance in Christ. And so a great part of their testimony of the wonder of who God is they were in such and such a situation, and God rescued them. There are others who have faced the consequences of their own choices, and it has destroyed them, and they're delivered. And they wonderfully praise God for His kindness and for His power. Fairly often I am, either in the afternoon or in the evening, able to hear at least part of things like Focus on the Family. What do they have time and again as a testimony to encourage God's people? A person that messed it up and God helped them. What do they tell about when they give praise to God? They talk about their own life and their own choices that brought them to under bondage and God delivered them. And their hearts are filled with praise for what God has done. Another person will talk about the consequences they face, how they brought themselves into such a situation that they couldn't possibly get out, but God helped them. And so one's encouraged to hear what the Joneses did, or the Smiths did, or this people or that people did. And they wrote a book about God's deliverance, and there they are being interviewed in the wonderful things that God did. Well, why do we care about those things? They show us the power of God. And they remind us that in our struggles, though they may not be so dramatic, our reason as we wander and feel lonely and as if we're wandering is to bring us to call on the Lord, to see his deliverance. The reason we face the bondage that we fall into is in order to come back to him. The reason we suffer the consequences of our sin is to call upon the Lord and be a testimony to the great things that he could do. And the reason we face the overwhelming calamity, which is not our fault, which we didn't decide, which was his will for us. The reason we survived is because of what he has done for us. And we can testify to the power that he has shown to us. Well, that's the way in which God deals with his people. And so he gives the material at the end of Psalm 107. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, fruitful land into salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on the nobles made them wander in the trackless waste, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction. He increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Thought of so many testimonies that I've heard, so many books that have been presented, that this is what a person's experience was and this is the way in which God undertook for them. I know that personally, Cindy and I really try to make it a point to hear Johnny Erickson at 4:05 every day if we can, because she's got testimony of her own experience again and again of what she's gone through, but bringing other circumstances of people facing, in her case especially, handicaps of a special kind. And it's such an encouragement to hear what God does to deliver from. Well, may we remember the places that we've been where we've been in a difficulty and a struggle, and God has been pleased to show himself mighty on our behalf, and he's delivered us. May we rejoice with other songs of deliverance that we hear from those that have experienced God's wonderful grace in their lives. It encourages our heart to hear what God has done for someone else, and we rejoice and are strengthened by such things. Well, may the Lord help us appreciate, because it seems what the stilling of the storm was about, isn't it? Bringing them to the end of their rope, unable to help themselves, desperate, calling on the Lord and seeing the wonder of his deliverance and worshiping and blessing his great name and drawing near to him with a joy and a thankfulness because they've seen the wonderful hand of God delivering them. Back to verse 8 as a summing up of what we've seen. Verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. May we recognize the greatness and the goodness of our God. The wonderful times through which he brings us in order to press us to call upon his name, and the wonderful deliverance that he does in order for us to know the greatness of our God. So God would have us to do that. We look at where he's delivered others and we praise God. This is the God that we worship. Bless his holy name. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your dealings in our lives. Thank you for the times in which we were wandering and recognized our need and called upon you. Perhaps that is like it was when we first came to Christ. You were pleased in your wonderful mercy to make us realize how lonely and how lost we were. and you brought us to yourself. Lord, it may be others of us were in bondage, unable to free ourselves, and you graciously used that bondage to open our eyes and open our hearts to call upon you, and you showed your mighty power on our behalf. There may be others who were suffering because of the consequences of their choices, and there seemed no way out. And you, in your wonderful mercy and power, were pleased to rescue us and enable us to praise your great name. Lord, there may be others of us that have gone through things that seemed impossible, overwhelming, more than we could bear. And you were pleased to show yourself mighty on our behalf. We would join with your people throughout the ages and thank you for being this kind of God, and commit ourselves afresh to call upon your great name, to see the wonder of what you've done, and to declare your greatness. Oh Lord, even as the disciples in the Sea of Galilee were impressed with something that never left them, a sense of the wonder of who you were, a sense of the greatness of your power, that which would be a part of their testimony until the day they die. Oh Lord, thank you for giving us such challenges that help us to see how great you are. And help us, Lord, give us a song of praise in our hearts, and help us testify to the great things that you have done. Grant us grace, and we thank you. We know that in all these things, the great thing that you have done is to take away our sin. We know you are ours because you took upon yourself our sin and died on the cross to pay for our sins in order that we might know you. And that is our great deliverance, Lord. We bless you for it. Lord, we thank you and worship you and ask you to continue with us and help us to meditate upon these things. Help us to glorify your great name. We pray in Jesus' name.